You are now listening to the Paranormal A Radio Network. Remember, before the show begins, make sure you leave a light on. Shadows, episode 3. I'm Terry Koenig, and along with me, as always, is the one and only Chrissy P. What's up?
Hey, not much. What's up with you?
Chilling, relaxing, feeling like crap. All the good things, you know.
Yeah. But, well, today is my second anniversary, so I want to wish a happy second wedding anniversary to my husband, Nathan Schoonover. So there, I said it. We're going out to dinner after this, so I can't wait.
Nice. Well, I just lost my train of thought there. Sorry about that. Some idiot just threw something in my window. Stupid kids outside. All right, today we're going to take a look at The Blair Witch Project and The Devil Inside, two found footage films. And I know a lot of people are sick of found footage, and might get into that tonight and talk about why. Before we get started, though, have you seen any good flicks lately that aren't being reviewed today?
Any good flicks lately? You know, my mind has just gone blank, but yes. Oh, I got to see Ghostbusters on the big screen for the first time in 30 years.
Nice. I wanted to see that, but I never got around to it.
Oh, my God, it was really fun. And I got to say, it was so much fun to see those special effects because they did them a different way back then, and they were just so genuine and fun and real, and some of them were bad, but that was part of the fun of it. And the print looks great. So I saw that, and I went and saw The 100-Foot Journey with Nathan, and that was really good. I enjoyed it. The second part was a little bit Hallmark-y for me, a little bit too Lifetime Network, but the first half of it was very good. So that's what I've been watching lately, and the weekend of September 25th, I have my fellow horror writer friend Stacey Longo coming down and my cousin Marianne Squalia, who loves horror movies, and we're going to do a big horror-thon. We do one every fall where we just hang out, eat, drink, and watch like a bunch of horror movies. So we have lots of things on the list. Sinister and Lovely Molly and...
Oh, Sinister's good.
I know. I've heard Sinister's good. I bought it. I've been saving it. I mean, I've literally had it for like a year, and I've been saving it for this weekend, for that weekend coming up. And also at the end of October, which is kind of cool, Howe Caverns in upstate New York, which is where Nathan and I tied the knot 2 years ago, and I went there all the time as a kid, they have introduced haunted tours of their cave for the month of October. So we're going up there for a weekend, and that's going to be our, quote, official anniversary celebration. We're going to go up there, stay overnight, go out to dinner, and go on the haunted tour. And they offer packages and stuff. So if there's anybody not in Canada or that lives just a couple of hours away from Howe Caverns in Howe's Cave, New York, it's near – it's in Schoharie County near Cobleskill. Go ahead and look that up because they have some really nice packages, and it should make for a very fun late fall weekend to do one of their haunted tours. That's
awesome.
My plug for the evening. I love that place.
Sponsors, plug. Speaking of good movies I saw, Sinister was definitely one of them. I really, really liked that movie. We should review it after you see it. And the remake of Evil Dead, which I know I'm going to catch a lot of hate mail for. I loved it way more than the original Evil Dead. I'm not going to lie, I watched the original Evil Dead for the first time, and I hate it. Hate.
Well, you know, that's the thing about movies that people forget. Everybody goes nuts with critics and this and that and the other thing, and my opinion and your opinion and all this, but the reality of it is, you know, movies are like books. There are so many things out there, And there's something for everyone. And, you know, who's to say what's bad or what's good? If you went to the movies and had a good time, then that's the end of it. If you went to the movies and you were like, oh, my God, this is horrible, then that's the end of it. Like, it doesn't matter.
Good segue.
I remember seeing that movie extremely loud and incredibly close, which was like everybody hailed this thing as a big 9/11, you know, oh, my
yeah.
God, this is such an intense movie. And, oh, my God, the only thing I had to say, first of all, I made it through the first 25 minutes, and it was so awful, I had to shut it off. I was like, you know what this should be called? Extremely pretentious and incredibly boring. Holy cow, what a horrible film. There was just nothing
nice.
Happened, and it made no sense, and there were story holes everywhere, but, you know, there were people that just loved it. So whatever, you know, that's
fair
great.
Enough.
I had no use for it.
And good segue into crappy movies. Let's start with our first review here. And, guys, it's going to be a 30-minute show tonight due to plans and things like that. So The Blair Witch Project, and I cannot believe it's been since 1999 when this movie came out. Now, my first thing I'm going to say is this scene was pretty much starting found footage. I don't know if there was any before it, possibly in Mexico and shit with Wreck. I'm not sure if that – I think that came out first, but – the advertising was awesome. It's like, holy shit, they're playing a movie of found footage of people being chased through the woods and they were never found. The book came out, and it was so well done. It had police reports, and then the Curse of the Blair Witch documentary, which is, I was pretty pissed. They put that on Discovery Channel, made it seem so legit, and everybody was all into it. It made a shitload of money at the box office the first week, and then all of a sudden, you turn on MTV, and oh, look, there's the cast. They're not dead.
Oh, that's how you found out? See, I remember when that came out, I bought into it as well. I thought it was real, and I think that was part of the genius of the marketing.
Yeah.
But hands down, I think we both agree that the Curse of the Blair Witch documentary was excellent. I mean,
yeah,
if there was anything that looked like a real, honest-to-God documentary, that's it. It really, you bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And I rewatched it last night in preparation for tonight, and I was just blown away by how good it was. I was like, I'd forgotten how good and how scary this documentary was. It looks like the real thing. They did a hell of a job.
Yeah, it was way better than the movie. The movie, if you guys haven't seen it or you have not seen it in a long time, it doesn't hold up, in my opinion, watching it now. There's been way better found footage movies since then, but you got to give them props. As pissed as everybody was that it was fake and putting up with that annoying fucking, the chick in that movie and all her goddamn screaming, pardon my language, but so annoying, Heather Donahue, which was apparently her real name, it's just... Oh, it drove me nuts, but I dealt with it back in the day because I was like, oh, this is real. But, yeah,
yeah, well,
I
don't know. I had a little bit of a different opinion having rewatched it again. I remember when I did go to see it, I was terrified. I grew up in New England in the middle of the scary woods. I have actually gotten lost going hiking. I used to hike a lot when I was younger, and I have gotten lost. And I have had situations where we had to, like, we were stuck overnight. So for me, it was pretty terrifying. But I have to say that in terms of story, what's interesting about Blair Witch is that it was rendered as the unreliable narrator tale. If you carefully dissect that film, there's almost nothing in it, almost nothing, that truthfully indicates that anything supernatural is really going on. And that was one of the things I just wanted to talk about tonight because I'm so into Poe and the unreliable narrator. I took some examples out. You know, the animals can sound like people screaming.
Yeah.
Now, there's that one instance where you have the children giggling in the woods. There's that one brief scene. But still, by that point, these characters have already started to lose their minds. So they could be hearing things and interpreting them a different way. But I know for a fact that mating foxes sound like women screaming.
Yeah.
Raccoons can sound like children laughing. Raccoons have been known to try to get into people's tents and wreck campsites because they're looking for food. I mean, I just wrote down a bunch of these because, you know, even the blue goop that he says he finds, you know, they were out in the woods. That could have been, you know, bird crap. Bird crap is white when it's first ejected. It's clear. Like, there are so many, and that's kind of what fascinated me because I've seen this movie so many times that today I went into it with an eye, I came at it from a different angle. Even at the end, you know, when she's talking and she's doing that speech that everybody makes fun of, there's like this chirping in the background, and she goes, "Oh my God, what is that? What is that?" It's a tree frog. You can clearly hear that it's a tree frog. So I think one of the things that is done well, actually, with that movie is that even at the end, you know, it could be Josh who loses his mind, and he could be the one who hits her over the head and forces Mike to stand in the corner because he's psycho. I don't necessarily know that there's anything supernatural in there. Even the hanging men, you could say, well, the locals were scared. Those sticks could have been hanging there for years because people went up there and put them there. Or Rustin Parr, the crazy guy, could have put them there. Like, there's a lot of stuff here. And like I said, Josh was going crazy. He could have put the piles of rocks outside the tent on day six or whatever that was. I think it's day six that they find that. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because that's what I think is done well. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the whole movie is, I did watch it again. Didn't want to, but I did. But it seems like a whole bunch of people going, getting lost in the woods and losing their minds, and each person's having their own little delusional breakdown and shit like that, and all these things are happening. I've always been annoyed by the ending, like you mentioned, the guy standing in the corner and then, poof, the camera's down. It was a weird ending, and even when you thought it was real, it was even more weird. But it was kind of like, watch your friend die, or don't watch your friend die, or something like that. It was just, watching it now, it seems like a really bad flick. But then again, how much money did they make?
I'm sorry, go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how much money did they make off of that? It's like early Blumhouse, the guys who make all the movies like Sinister and like Paranormal Activity. They put like 5Gs into a movie, bought a bunch of cameras, marketed it brilliantly, and made freaking $300-400 million off that, not to mention DVD sales and shit like that. So it was brilliant. I may not like the movie anymore. It doesn't hold up, but brilliant, brilliant marketing and filmmaking, even though not a really good story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it excels in a couple of other areas besides that. It does, besides the unreliable narrator, which is what I really go for, which honestly, Terry, is not what I've seen in a lot of found footage things recently. I was really impressed when I watched it today because I was like, wow, I'd forgotten how many crappy found footage movies I've seen since this thing came out. Because I've seen a lot of crappy ones because I happen to like found footage, so.
Well, I give all the props in the world. But, like, some of my favorite found footage ones were, like, the original Last Exorcism, not the sequel. And, oddly enough, Paranormal Activity 3. Number one worked in theaters, but after that, it was just crap if you watch it at home. It was just nobody knew what they were getting into. And you go into this theater, it's dark, and you see this flick, and it's like, ugh, makes you unnerved. But when you watch it on DVD, it sucks, but. Number three was cool because it was old school VHS and it just had a creepy kid vibe to it without pushing the creepy kid. But yeah, I don't know, Blair Witch itself, I would give it, originally when I watched it, an 8, and now when I watch it, 6.5 compared to other found footage. What about you?
Well, I'd have to go a little higher than that. I'd actually have to give it a 9 only because the unreliable narrator is so well done. And the use of sound is really well done, which is something I have not seen in other found footages since. They really do use sound to their greatest advantage. And the other thing, of course, and this is purely subjective, is that you don't see a damn thing. You never see a thing. I like that. I like the fact that you don't see a thing. And so, I mean, I think that, now I happen to be a fan of Blair Witch 2. A lot of people here hate Blair Witch 2, but I actually like that, but it's not found footage. But it's interesting because it does play with that unreliable narrator idea that started in the first one. But people don't realize
that
because it's different. So, sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Don't give it away. We'll talk about that one on the show because I really like that one too.
I really liked that one. Yeah, we can definitely do a show on that because I really enjoyed that one. And I know a lot of people hated it, but I had fun with it. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick 30-second break, come back and talk a little Satan. I know it's a touchy subject in your house right now, being what happened on G&D, but we'll be right back.
Oh, I'll have to tell you the story about what happened with this movie today because I almost didn't get to watch it. So anyway, go ahead to break and then I'll tell you that story.
What happens when two radio show hosts take a walk into the darkness looking for answers? Unexplained calls from Denver, power outages only in the room of a studio, thunder and lightning, storms and total darkness when talking about the exorcism of Emily Rose. Join us as we take a walk into the darkness and the unknown. Warning. You may not like what you find. Join the Invisible World's Frank Todaro and Paranormal A Radio Network creator Terry Koenig monthly for Spectral Retrospective. Be careful. They're listening.
All right. And Spectra will be back next Monday. I think around 2 p.m. we're going to do it. Get it up and post it up for you guys. So our next movie, we'll let Chrissy tell her story in just a sec because... Man, G&D picked a really bad topic to do. Feel sorry for both those guys right now and you for living in the area. But there's a bunch of people in this movie nobody knows, so I'm not going to go over the names and stuff. But it's The Devil Inside from 2012, and I'll start up by saying it's an improvement in found footage, I think, in some points, and at some points it's a letdown. But let's tell your story quick because we got about 15 minutes to get through this review. But it's so worth telling. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Well, my first story is with The Devil Inside is that I'm not going to go over everything, but basically Nathan and Sean interviewed the guy who owns the Dybbuk Box. Anybody who doesn't know what the Dybbuk Box is, it's D-I-B-B-U-K. You can go on out there and look it all up for yourselves. We don't have time to go into it here. But shortly after that,
Watch the movie The Possession.
Yeah, just watch the movie The Possession. You'll get the idea. Shortly after that, my husband got all kinds of weird bruises on him. Sean had some issues. His car got hit by lightning and a bunch of other stuff. There was a gas leak and a transformer blew, and his house was the only one on the block out, I believe. In the meantime, what was going on here was that for a few days after that, my cats were acting really weird, and so I was getting nervous that maybe something was in the house because they normally don't act strange. And I was also hearing strange noises, but that kind of subsided, so that's gone now. But then today, I was going to watch The Devil Inside because Terry and I had agreed to do this back in June, so I had bought the DVD. I carried it around with me in my bag at work, you know, to go to work, to and from work, all summer. Was pretty sure it was in my bag. This morning comes, I go to get out of my bag, it's not there. I go, okay, what the hell? I look all over the house. I cannot find this damn film. I'm like, okay, it must be in my inbox at work. So I go to work, I try to get it, and I look all over the place, in my drawers, it's not there. So, meanwhile, I'm trying to say to Nathan, this is really creepy. Why would this movie disappear? The cats are acting weird, all this stuff. And, of course, he says to me, I'm sure the devil is not involved here, and I'm sure you just put it somewhere and you don't remember where you put it.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, I'm talking to him on the phone about this, and just as we're just about to hang up, all of a sudden, I do remember where I put it. And I go, oh, my God, I remember what I did with it. And I had put it in a different cabinet in my house because we'd gotten some new furniture. So that's my funny story, just a word to the wise out there. Not everything is supernatural.
What would have
been
really messed
up? Went home on my lunch break, grabbed the movie, and had a chance to watch it. But I thought that would crack you up because I was like, here I am going, oh, my God, somebody, it's been moved, and it's, you know, it's creepy and all this. And no, I just completely forgot that I had moved it.
And what would have been really messed up is if the TV just freaking went on with the Devil Inside and exorcism scene, and you'd been like, ah.
Yeah, totally. And actually, I was very surprised by this movie. I was nervous about watching it because I am not a devil movie person.
Right.
And the only reason I'm not is because I grew up in a I'm not a born-again Christian anymore, but I grew up in a born-again Christian home, and we were really taught that that was very, very real. And to this day, that's one of those topics that I just don't like to go near because it does scare me. It scared me when I was a little girl. It scares me now. So I tend to avoid that. But I got to tell you, Terry, this movie was kind of a disappointment for me because, first of all, there were story holes all over the place.
Yeah.
And there were so many story holes. And the second thing was none of the exorcism stuff bothered me at all. And that,
yeah, that
for me is unusual. That's very strange. And I'm like, okay, if this didn't bother me, something's wrong here.
I like the idea of the movie, and I like how it starts out with the whole police thing, footage thing, and then a girl making a documentary about finding out what really happened to her mom, and that the church locked her up in a nut house in Rome, and she was apparently so possessed and things like that. That intrigued me, and then the rogue exorcists that were like, screw the church, they won't approve everything, and these people need help, we're going to go help them, and we'll help your mom, and that stuff was kind of cool. But I think, like, and it's funny you mention that, every time I watch one of these freaking movies, you always, I'm an atheist, don't believe in any of that stuff, but whenever I watch one of these exorcism movies, even the shitty ones, you always get that uneasy feeling like you shouldn't be watching this kind of thing. It's kind of like the Ouija board. I don't believe in it, but I wouldn't fuck with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't mess with a Ouija either. But, see, that's an interesting point that you bring up about the two priests. The first story problem that I hit was that there were these two priests who were, quote, underground helping these people. But not only did they agree to talk to her and be filmed.
Yeah, I know. We don't want anybody to know.
And then they're like, oh, don't tell anybody. I'm like, dude, if you're going to lose your everything because of this, a normal person would never allow this. And then there was
so much
flopping back and forth about, like, with David, you know, like, there was that moment where he's all upset because the bishop denied the request. But I was like, yeah, but two scenes before, he was upset because he didn't want to go further with this because he was going to get kicked out of the church. And then they're talking about, are we going to get arrested? And, well, then why the hell are you letting them film this stuff? It was
that
such a
really
big hole, I couldn't almost get past it. I really couldn't.
That bothered me too, because you'd think if they're these rogue priests or whatever, they would ask her to blur out their face.
Yeah, see,
but
even that would have been more effective.
Yeah, like, it would have made it more believable as a found footage, like, as found footage, because, oh, their faces are blurred out, that makes sense, blah, 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 but eh.
Yeah, and it wasn't even technically what I would classify as found footage. Here's another hole. So the girl's like, oh, I'm working with this documentary filmmaker, Michael, or whatever. And then, like, three-quarters of the way through the film, she's like, oh, I hate him. I hate his camera. But she wasn't at the baptism where the baby almost drowned. So I'm like, why is she even going there? There were so many things that just didn't connect for me in terms of motive.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was stuff cut out, maybe. I don't know, but there were so many holes I could not get past it.
Yeah.
I will say, though. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there is a director's cut with more, I think it's 40 minutes more footage. I have seen it. There is a lot cut out, makes it make more sense, but you're right with the holes and stuff. But that scene with the baby almost drowning, as a parent, hate that scene. It was rude. That's the only thing that made me uneasy.
I was going to say, that scene is genius. If anybody feels compelled to watch this movie for any reason, that's the one scene that people should watch it for. Because that was uncomfortable. It was well done.
Unexpected.
You're really not expecting it. You're not.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, I'm so not expecting anything to happen. And but then another hole came after that because, okay, David just tried to drown this baby, but he didn't get arrested.
Yeah.
Or anything. Like, he just goes back to their house or their apartment, and they're like, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, my God,
priest,
I'm pretty sure that if I did that to a baby, I'd be in jail right now.
Well, yeah, priest or not, I think the father at least, would have beat the living hell out of him for trying to drown his baby. Like, he'd be in the hospital or in jail, you're right.
Yeah, I think that was a huge, I was like, wait a minute, why is he not in jail? Like, I didn't, because he would have at least been hauled away and detained overnight or something. I mean, I don't know what
it was. unless it was in Vatican City or something, and that's where they have the diplomatic immunity. He might have got off with that, in theory.
Okay, that's a valid point, but then somebody needs to mention that. Because
yeah,
those of us who
know.
Have no idea about Catholicism and Vatican City would have no clue. So
yeah.
that's so to us, that just looks like a big, you know, what the WTF
yeah.
moment, you know. But
since we're getting low on time, I want to mention one thing before we run out of time, though. The ending. Did you not hate that stupid fucking ending?
I read
spoiler.
That people were actually booing the ending when it was in the theaters.
Yep, and I booed it at home because, okay, so it jumps from one person to another, no problem, and the guy's like, oh, going to crash. End of the movie. Like, okay, if they're in a fireball of a crash, how'd the frickin' videotape survive?
Yeah,
that
was an issue too, yep. Yeah, and the other
but,
problem is they set up, just like they do in Blair Witch, they set up the ending. In Blair Witch, there's a mention, but it's very subtle, where the one interviewee, because they interview all these people in the town in Blair Witch, and he says, well, he said that he could, you know, the one guy was facing the wall, the one child had to face the wall while the other one got killed. But it's very subtle.
Yeah.
You don't notice it. In this movie, one of the first things she does in the first 10 minutes is go to this Vatican. She arrives in Italy. She goes to this exorcism class. And the first
yep.
thing the guy says is something obvious, like, the demon jumps from one person to another. And I went, oh, my God, that's
mm-hmm.
how this movie's going to end.
Yep.
It was
exactly.
so obvious. I'm like, that is so obvious. Could you have made it more obvious than that? It's like literally the guy is looking at the camera, and he literally tells
yeah.
you how the story's going to end. And I was like, all right. At least in Blair Witch, it was subtle. This is
yeah,
not
this
subtle.
Like,
this is let us beat you over the head with it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm going to find out what happened to my mother. I'm going to go see my mother who's possessed. I'm going to take priests with me that are going to try and do an exorcism on her. Of course it's going to end with the mother's thing jumping from one person to another. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was just a little too obvious for me. I just felt
yeah.
overall that The Devil Inside was more of a drama than a horror film.
Yeah.
But it kind of failed because it really didn't succeed at the character conflict crisis change structure. You had people jumping to conclusions without any triggers.
Yeah.
And I apologize, but
bad.
That's just the way I look at things because I'm a writer.
Yeah.
So,
well, something in the beginning of the movie has to pay off in the middle end or something to make it make sense. But we are almost out of time, so what would you give The Devil Inside out of 10? I'm going to go 4. I think it should have been a regular movie.
I was going to go 5, and I think I'm being generous.
Well, I'm gonna go 4 and say it should have been, and probably would have been better if it was just a normal movie. Film
I would
normally,
agree. Yeah.
Because if found footage, it just didn't make sense. It was like, fuck it, found footage horror is so cheap to make. Let's just make it found footage. They could have just had the police footage in the beginning be the only found footage part, and then just have it as a regular movie. It would have probably played better. But it's Hollywood. What are you going to do? How many times are they going to make a freaking exorcism movie? The Exorcist was the best, even though it still kind of doesn't hold up that well today. It's still the best one. I think The Rite would be the second best one, and then The Last Exorcism would be my top three freaking satanic movies there. Sounds weird. But this one just doesn't work. So,
no, it doesn't work. It's got... It was okay. If you're really curious, I would say anybody who's really curious and
Netflix.
Really enjoys exorcism films, go see it. You know, don't deprive yourself. If you're curious, go check it out.
And
but
Netflix
is
your best friend.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, for me, it was just the story problems. And I agree with you, Terry. I think it could be so much more interesting. I think it would have worked better if it was just a regular movie. I think
it
would have totally worked better.
Yeah, make it more of a thriller. Make it more of a thriller and them being chased by people trying to stop them from doing an exorcism. It would have made more sense, but what are you going to do? But we are out of time. This was our episode 3, back for our fall launch, and we will be back the second Monday of every month. It was just different this month due to the holiday. So next month, we're still debating what to do for Halloween. We have a couple ideas. If you guys have any ideas, paranormal@gmail.com, let us know, and we'll figure out what 2 movies we're going to take a look at next time for Halloween. Anything you want to get out there, appearances, books, anything?
Books, anything. I have a short story called Skin and Bones, Teeth and Hair. coming out in year three anthology, which is not available yet, and I do not have a release date on that. I also have a short story called Shitty Almonds coming out in the Bugs anthology from Great Old Ones Publishing, and I will keep everybody posted on my website as to when that's available. And you can find me on ChristyPetersonSchoonover.com, and if you can't figure out how to spell that or whatever, just put in